Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jess Grace Garcia. How is everyone? Guess what? We're doing another mini-sode. Surprise!
Woo! Hey, ladies. I'm Jack Bates. Other co-host.
Other co-host.
Probably redundant. Hey, also to the non-guys and non-ladies out there.
That's right.
I see you. I feel
That's
you.
That's right. We need to acknowledge. You know what I'm saying? I wish that guys was more gender neutral, because I like it as a y'all.
Yeah, like, we treat it like it is, but yeah, it really is not.
Right? It's so annoying. Can we come up with another word? Like if we said, hey, guys and dolls, and then said something else. Anybody have suggestions? Hey, I know y'all. But if anyone has any other gender neutral like terminology that you love, you gotta let us know. You gotta get me in the loop.
Yeah, the problem with guys and dolls is it still enforces the binary.
No, I want a third one.
Like I want a term of reference that just doesn't
works for everything.
Doesn't make reference to gender at all. Like foolish mortals. Welcome, foolish mortals, to Louder Mafia.
If you're listening to us, you probably know.
You're going to die one day.
Oh, my God. This is the after double dark. Oh, my gosh. So what are we doing on this mini-sode? What are we doing today, Jack?
We've got another listener story.
Oh, are you going to tell it this time?
I'm going to tell it. We love getting we love getting stories from you all. We said in the last mini-sode that Jess and I have had lots of different experiences from each other.
Yeah.
And we love that we can represent so many different aspects of the queer and the queer Christian communities.
Yeah.
But we can't do it all. We're both fugly sluts. We don't know what it's like to be asexual, aromantic, and
yeah,
the lots of experiences that we haven't had that we want to represent and that we want to understand better.
For sure.
So this listener has asked to be anonymous. They identify, though, as he, they, so for when we reference them. I spent a large part of my life hearing only from the wrong kind of religious person. You know, the ones they use religion as an excuse to hate on and exclude anyone that doesn't fit into their straight, white, cis, able-bodied societal ideals. They call the rest of us evil and threaten us with eternal damnation and suffering. Hmm. These voices were so loud and so prevalent that they drowned out the voices of other Christians, to the point that I sort of didn't think there even were other types of Christians.
That's real.
And so I believed them, and I did my best to comply, because fear of eternal suffering will do that to a kid. It's so fucked up that we, like, dangle kids over the pit of hell to get them to believe in Jesus.
That is an image.
So I was a believer growing up, but a lot of it was fear-based, which is probably the worst kind of motivation for believing in something. Second only to those who put that fear into us in the first place.
Amen, brother. So true.
Their beliefs are also based in fear, though. Fear of anyone different from themselves. Preach. As I got older, I started realizing more and more that what these people were saying was bullshit.
That's right.
But instead of dissecting everything, trying to sort out what was right and wrong with this type of quote-unquote Christianity, I just decided it was all bullshit, Christianity as a whole, and I didn't need any of it. It wasn't really that I stopped believing, per se, but I didn't want to be part of something that so many people had used to cause so much harm. I couldn't justify being even loosely associated with a belief system that was used to do harm. So I convinced myself that I didn't believe in any of it, and I started calling myself an atheist. It was a gradual process, but that was where I ended up. I feel like that makes so much sense. Like, it's so rational to be presented that sort of Christianity and say, like, no, fuck this, like, anything but this.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more Christ-like to leave that sort of Christianity behind than, like, fully to accept it and propagate it.
Right. Absolutely. I feel like I know a lot of people with this story, you know?
I'll pick up with her story. This was before I even understood any aspect of my own queer and trans identity. It wasn't about self-preservation, but because I saw others being harmed by this sort of ideology. I'm not sure I even understood the harm that was done to me at the time, but there was certainly harm done. There's just something about growing up being told that there's something inherently wrong with you, that you're bad, that we're all inherently bad, and that you must beg for forgiveness or suffer eternally.
Mm.
That tends to fuck you up a little bit.
Yeah, maybe just a little. No, maybe just a little.
Bit, yeah. That sort of ideology is harmful to everyone, not just the ones that don't fit in with their concept of Christianity. In the last 5 years or so, I started to hear the voices of other folks who considered themselves to be Christian that didn't really fit with the idea I had of what Christianity was. The problem, though, is that their progressive views were separate from their religious views, despite them rather than because of them, which did little to change my opinion of Christianity and religion as a whole. It helped me to see that not all religious people were as terrible as I had thought, but rather that some people were capable of being decent while still being part of something that I still thought was harmful.
Mm.
Then there were others who, in their theology, weren't outright shitty to queer people, but sort of just tried to make excuses for us. They at least didn't think we were evil and offered some sort of a baseline acceptance, or maybe it was just tolerance.
Yes, sometimes I wonder if that's worse.
Yeah.
Like, how much more harmful spaces that just preach tolerance is, like, because it's a mind fuck, than spaces where someone's just straight up like, yo, you're not welcome here.
Right, like, even queer people are often, like, drawn into churches that are, what do they call them, like, welcoming but not affirming?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, they'll let you in the door.
They'll, like, let you serve by, like, saying, like, welcome, being on the welcome committee, or...
Yeah, like, they'll take your time, energy, and tithe. Money.
Yeah.
Queer money spends the same, right, homophobes?
Mm-hmm. Call it out.
But there's always some sort of, like, queer glass ceiling. Like, maybe it's serving with the kids. Like, oh, you're a sexual deviant, so we don't want you near the children.
Maybe it's being on stage outside of giving a testimonial about how great the church was.
Yeah, you don't want too much queer visibility because you don't want, like, the conservative donor class to think that you're okay with that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the Anglican church I went to here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was on their, like altar guild, which is, like, very visible. Like, you put on a robe and, like, you help out with the Eucharist and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that that was, like, too much queer visibility, so that I could be on the PowerPoint team instead.
Oh my God.
It told me a lot about what they felt about queer people and a lot about what they felt about PowerPoint team.
Seriously. Like, wow. I kind of want to just get t-shirts that say, like PowerPoint team on the back for those of us that are, like, still in the closet or aren't ready to, like, be open about, like, Lavender Mafia being your jam. Like, just, like, the logo on the front corner and on the back, it says PowerPoint team.
Tell me you're gay without telling me you're gay. I was on PowerPoint team at my church.
Exactly.
Is he, you know, on PowerPoint team?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pick it up with the listener story. They, meaning the, like, welcoming but not affirming crowd, they saw the harm that had been done to queer folks, but were still awkward and clunky and calling it out, and did very little to actually try to fix the problem. But now I'm able to hear the right kind of voices. Voices like yours, offering radical acceptance, affirmation, and inclusion of queer identities, who have done and continue to do the theological work to back it up. Voices that not only affirmed my queer and trans identity, but lifted it up and made it feel like I actually belonged. Being able to hear someone say that I was perfectly made in God's image hit me in a way I never really expected, because so many others used God to hurt me. It helped me learn to love myself a little more, instead of feeling like I need to be ashamed for being different. Thanks to voices like yours, I've had to adjust the way I look at Christianity. I could still acknowledge the harm that has been done, supposedly in God's name, but I've learned that I don't have to acknowledge those people as Christians. I don't know what religion they're practicing, but it's not true Christianity. I'm certain that if I grew up hearing voices like yours instead of voices like theirs, I'd have never walked away from religion, never convinced myself that it was all garbage. I'd have never tried to convince myself I was an atheist. But if voices like yours existed back then, they were drowned out by people saying all the wrong things because those voices were louder, and those voices held all the power.
I can get real loud.
Yeah, let's get loud.
Let's get loud. Let's get loud.
I still have a hard time calling myself a Christian, partly because of people like them. Partly because I didn't
Amen fight. To that.
Right. Partly because I didn't fight to keep that identity, so I'm not sure that I've truly earned it. Mm-mm. But that's something I'm working on.
I think honey, baby, let me hug you. Wait. I want to hug you. Like, the idea of earning the right to be something is so real and relatable, but also so toxic. And I hate that you feel that way. And I wish that I could hug that out of you.
Yeah, there's something about those kinds of voices that make us feel like we have to perform for like there or other people. Like, not saying that this is what's going on with the listener, but just like, I felt that need to like, oh, I need to be like a lot of that thing to be enough of that thing. Like,
yeah,
I really struggled to apply the trans label to myself because I'm not a trans binary person. And in some ways, my experience of being trans is not as difficult, has not involved as much suffering or oppression as other people's trans experiences. And so I didn't feel like I was trans enough to own the label.
Yes.
But like, trans means so many different things. And I've had like other, it's helped to have trans people affirm me and my transness. Like, we don't necessarily need other people to tell us who we are, but sometimes it helps. Have people with that label say like, no, this is you too. So like, listener, it sounds to me that you're obviously a Christian. Like, the label is yours as much as it is anybody's. As much as it is Jess's or mine, it's yours. If you want it.
Yeah.
You don't have to want it.
Also, you can call yourself a Christian one day and the next day take a break. Like, that's totally up to you. You know, like, I think it's hard to let go of the black and white thinking, you know, like the idea that you can be Christian and also Buddhist and also a witch and also like whatever you want to be, you know, like it doesn't have to be one or the other. It would be nice to have a different word, though, wouldn't it? Like, that's why I think people hold on to evangelical so hard. Like, because they feel like they can kind of take away, like, walk away from this label that so many people that they detest hold on to.
Yeah. Oh, let me finish up their story real quick to actually talk about some of the things we've been talking about. I think in time it'll be easier for me to identify with that label the more I'm exposed to people like you and voices like yours. I just try really hard not to cry when I was reading, because
I was crying.
I'll socialize as a boy, so I'm more unhealthily detached from my emotions. But this sort of experience has always been my hope for the Yeah. Like our involvement in queer and queer Christian spaces.
Yeah.
For like one of the things being to rehabilitate people's image of Christians, of God, of Jesus. And to like one of the reasons I like the label Christian and why I wouldn't want to use like a different or new term is like I want to affirm like queer Christianity's continuity with historic Orthodox Christianity.
Amen.
And not say that we're doing something new, that it's actually the people who are rejecting gender expansive and trans identities and similar gender sexual romantic activity. Yeah.
That's why I often aromantic reference identities. To them as evangelical or conservative. I don't call them Christian.
Yeah. Like they're the new thing. Yeah. Like they're the thing that took like a hard right turn from where Christianity has always been, where it has always focused its attention on love, on caring for others, just abandoned so much that Christianity has always been about. Like if we as queer Christians and conservative evangelicals, if we have diverged, if we're different sects of the same religion, or I'm more inclined to say that we practice different religions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not we who've moved as much as it's them. Like mm-hmm. that's at least how mm-hmm. I see it. And I've tried to do a lot of work to show that,
yeah,
that what they're doing isn't in line with the best of Christian tradition throughout the centuries.
Amen to that.
So Christian should be like, I want Christian to be our label at, insofar as we want to apply it to ourselves and not their label.
Yeah.
Like I want people when they hear Christian
to think of us,
to think of people like our community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like people who hate the poor, hate queer people, hate immigrants, are racist, misogynistic, yeah. But like that really is what a lot of people think when they hear the label Christian. So like, I don't blame people for not wanting to associate themselves with that label.
I think there's a lot of queer Christians that have come before us that, for safety reasons, have not been able to be as loud as they would maybe have wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And in hearing the listeners say that they want that, you know, like we weren't that loud before.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me think like how we are finally in a place and time. And I say place because it does matter. We're in Los Angeles in America, which is safer than some other people who are our listeners who are listening in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got listeners all over the world, which is a really cool thing. But that means some of those people cannot be loud. And so
right.
like we're in the right place and time, and maybe the right kinds of people who can be loud for that next, you know, young person who's in a similar position as our listener, who needs to see that there's more than one voice that represents God and Christianity and all of that, you know, the love of God.
I think it is really illustrative of the difference between our religion and like the conservative evangelical religion, that they're like so into evangelism. Like they think, well, the way I was taught it, like everybody's supposed to be an evangelist. Like you tell everybody about Christianity, but everybody was terrible at it.
Yeah.
Because, well, everybody's like so fearful and insecure, and they don't believe in the product they're selling. like they haven't experienced Christianity to be liberative.
Yeah.
And so when they tell other people that this is the truth and it's going to set you free, and you look in their eyes and they're like, they're prisoner of theirs and their and others' hate and fear. Like, no, I think I like it out here, outside of the cage that you're trying to put me in.
Yeah, God, that's so true. I was also thinking earlier when we're talking about like the kinds of people that want to be involved but are a little bit more quiet. Like we have some people that are helping us with our social media and with our website. Mm-hmm. And they are quieter individuals. Mm-hmm. And one of them said, Jeff said to me the other day, like we were sitting and having coffee and he said, you know, I wasn't sure like how to be like an affirming Christian, or like a queer Christian. 'Cause I thought like, oh, I can't stand up there and like preach. Mm-hmm. Or I can't like, you know, get on mic or go like, it's just not my, it's not like in me to do that. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, but I can help in other ways. I can help with helping build this community by doing the things that I'm great at. Mm-hmm. And this really timid, sweet individual that is incredibly talented, and we're so blessed to have him.
So talented.
Right? And it's like, he's just like, oh, maybe I have some skills I can. And I was like, you're incredible. Right. But like, there's so many of you out there that might not be the ones that are going to start a podcast or like, or get up on stage and preach a sermon or like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Stand on a soapbox, but you are so essential to building this, you know, and to like creating spaces that are safe, you know, and like being maybe the person that's a really good listener. Mm-hmm. To your friend, you know? And I just feel like that's important to say, like you can be loud without actually like literally being loud.
Yeah. It's like scripture talks about there's one body, but many members, many parts mm-hmm. of the body. Like mm-hmm. you and I are both mouths. Like
right,
we're loud, but like we can't do it all alone.
Right.
And like there are skills that we need somebody to have for us to be able to do this well that we don't have.
Yeah. And even like one of our, one of the people helping us is a friend, Katie, who's an ally. She's straight and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. But like, she's so desperately is like, I just want to support you guys and like be in the background and just the way in which she wants to amplify queer affirming Christian voices is so cool. So mm-hmm. it is possible, even not as a queer person, to come into a space and like help amplify queer voices.
Mm-hmm. I remember in evangelical spaces that the like missionaries and evangelists and pastors, like they were the super Christians. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of us are like just sort of second or third rate kind of Christians. Like we could never compare, like unless we actually joined that class of elite Christians. And it'd be like the worst thing for us to replicate that sort of system in queer Christianity.
Like
we're out here, like we're trying to be as visible or in this case audible as possible, but like we don't want to say that like your Christianity has to look like our
absolutely
Christianity. Like we can only be the queer Christians that we are because we're in a community of people who support us, and that community has all sorts of different kinds of queer Christians, queer people of the faith, and queer people of no particular faith or no faith
mm-hmm.
at all. I think there's another reason why we need more listener stories.
Yes, please.
Because like, there's only so much you can tell from a story, but I feel like the people who write in, like, I think I would love meeting like every one of them.
Yes.
And like,
I feel fortunate that they listen to us. I'm like, you're cool.
It's nice to know our listeners are like quality people.
Right.
And like, y'all are so different from us. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that we can all be in this together while we have such different backgrounds and different skills. We don't all need to be the same.
Yeah. It truly is like meeting family that you didn't know you had.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to read these stories and even like interact with you on the Facebook group or in social media when you message us. And it's just exciting. It's exhilarating every time. I think I cry almost every time because I'm just excited. So all you have to do is say hi and send me a message and I get stoked. Like it's not, I'm easy.
No, she'll give it up.
But yeah, we love you guys. And to the listener who wrote in and took the time to write that story of your life, like, love you. Thank you so much for caring about yourself and this community and being willing to put in that time and effort to tell us that, because it's going to stick with me.
Yeah,
for sure.
I feel so honored to be a part of this listener's journey and for them to like put that sort of level of trust in us. Like it makes me want to like really be sure that we are worthy of that trust, that we can be trusted in those sorts of ways.
Yeah, for sure. All right, everyone, we're going to try and keep this under 30 minutes. So we love you all. You're gorgeous babes. Be fierce. Keep the faith.
And don't fuck it up. Hey, Lavender Mafiosas. As we continue to make fun, sex positive, thoughtful queer Christian content, we're so pleased by how many of you invite us into your homes to spend some time with us each week. It's like we're part of the same queer, extended, chosen family. And I don't feel like we would really feel like family if I didn't beg you for money. So here goes. First, we really appreciate those of you who partner with us on Patreon already, because we need your support to continue the work we're doing. And there are even more things that we want to do, like build a website, make Lavender Mafia merch, provide opportunities for community online, in person, and to make more podcast content for you all. With what's been going on in our country lately, with new threats to queer health and safety all the time, it means more than ever to me to be doing this. And I really appreciate those of you who've partnered with us to make it possible for us to keep doing this. If you want to be one of these people, please consider going to patreon.com/lavmafia. And signing up to be one of our patrons. Thanks, and don't fuck it up.